Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. It's a blessing to have you join me. I look forward to this time as we share the good things of God's Word. We are always blessed in this nation that we can freely worship God and have the ability to be able to study and share His truths as He's revealed them in the Word of God. We've been looking at this week on the subject of biblical prosperity. And it's my concern to dispel myths and deception in the area of finances. And there were three deceptions, or myths, if you will, that we have been looking at. First was that money is the root of all evil. That's not true. It's the love of money, which is the root of all evil. And on yesterday's broadcast, we rather focused on that there's a, especially among the Pentecostal tradition, that to be poor is spiritual. And beloved, poverty is not a blessing, it is a curse. And the root of this concept is really pagan teaching, Dioceticism, which is a belief that matter is bad and the mind is good. And this crept into Christianity, which was the result of many problems, including a separation between the sacred and secular. Now, we'll spend a little more time on that later, but that concept that somehow we have a religious life and then we've got our secular life. There's the idea of, well, we go to church if we have any kind of religious stirrings on Sunday, and then we live in a secular way the rest of the week. And that's not God's way of looking at this life that He's given to us. A third concept we want to look at is that a person's worth is measured by the money that they possess. There's no greater compliment that was given to the human race than to be created in the very image of God. And if money, beloved, equaled true worth, then drug lords and mafia chiefs and pimps would be the worthiest people on earth. Beloved, it's simply not true that money equals worth. In fact, there are only two places in the Bible where money is referred to negatively in Scripture. One is one I've already shared with you, 1 Timothy 6:10, which says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And then there's the deceitfulness of riches. Let's look at the very words of Jesus as recorded in Mark, the 4th chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse 18. He was sharing at this point about the parable of the seed, which is the Word of God, and He spoke to them about a stony ground and the seed that fell among thorns and the seed that fell on good ground. In verse 18, He says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." That's really something to think about. Now, let's go back to those two negative references. The love of money is root of all evil. That refers to an attitude of the heart. It refers to avarice, to covetousness. It represents what money can do, what it can buy. And basically, it is nothing but another form of idolatry. Individuals driven by the love of money are really stingy. Why? Because they want it all themselves. And there may be a person who might be extraordinarily wealthy. They might possess millions, but they have no problem with the love of money. And just on the other hand, a person with virtually no cash assets, they might battle with the love of money. And so it really depends where the heart is at. If one is coveting it, then, and I'm not just saying now about having one's needs met, because that's God's will for us, but to have a desire for money. There are those who get caught up in gambling. They're spurred on by that desire to possess money and an easy way of getting it, if just, you know, the luck of the draw, that kind of thing. Well, beloved, that's not the way to biblical prosperity at all. And then now let's look at the deceitfulness of riches, which Jesus was addressing. And that is a deception that comes with the perceived power that comes with money. And in fact, let's be honest and truthful, as it says in Ecclesiastes 10:10, money or finances answereth all things. If you have money in today's world, there's nothing that you can't buy. Not only, unfortunately, in terms of material things, but even other things. You can buy people, if you will, and all that that implies. And that kind of wealth gives a false assurance of achievement and self-worth. And of course, there's arrogance and pride operating, because there's the ability to manipulate others through false pretenses and appearances. There's a way of just people will sell their souls for the thought of money. I mean, what is crime? Basically, robberies. They're trying to secure possessions which are not theirs so that they can become wealthy in some respect. And now, even in the Bible, it says, you know, if someone steals because they're hungry, one can understand that. And yet they have, that person who stole has to repay sevenfold, seven times what they took. And so desire for money, even though it runs this entire world system, has to be submitted to God. That very word deceitfulness is apate, that's A-P-A-T-E in the Greek text, the original word, and that means to be deluded or become deceived. That D means away, D-E is away, and caper, C-A-P-E-R, means down or to take. So when a Christian is deceived, he has, if you will, quote, taken down the centrality of God's word in his life. And beloved, that's how we live. If our mind is not renewed by the word of God, we can be seduced by the love of ease that material wealth brings. Look at the Lord's rebuke to the Laodicean church. They thought they were just rich, increased with goods. They didn't really need anything. And the Lord says, don't you understand your real spiritual state? You're wretched, you're poor, you're miserable. And so there is a deceiving quality to wealth, to abundance. Israel went through the same thing. God warned them when they were full and satisfied, their enemies were conquered. If they thought it was by their own efforts that they were blessed, then that was the beginning of their downfall, because it was only, it is God that causes thee to get wealth. He alone prospers us. And as he does it, he searches our hearts to see how will we respond, how will we react to the very subject of money. And so, beloved, if we have a correct understanding of money and finances from a biblical perspective, and if we constantly guard our hearts from the love of money as well as the deceitfulness of riches, then praise God, our finances, our wealth that God has blessed us with, becomes another tool that God puts in our hands. When we make money or finances our servant, then God can begin to put finances into our lives for us to use to put back into the kingdom to bless others. And so it's like a never-ending, wonderful cycle. The more we give, he blesses us back so we can give more. Beloved, we have to understand there are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Let me share Ephesians, the second chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse 1 through 5. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and I will read verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so if there's only two kingdoms, darkness and light, Satan's kingdom and God's kingdom, well, doesn't really have a king. He's not a king, Satan. He has a realm. Better choice of words to say his realm. That there's also, if there's one God's kingdom and Satan's realm, there are two economic systems, God's and the devil's. And the rightful owner of everything that is created and has been created is God, or ever will be created. El Elyon. Adam gave control to the devil by disobedience. He's the prince of the power of the air in this world. And the Lord warned us against the spirit of mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. And yet money actually controls this world system and the lives of multitudes. But God has given us wisdom. He's given us a way to walk that we don't stumble because of finances, but we can use them to bring glory to his name. Praise God. Well, there's more to share. I've got a lot of scripture and a lot of truths and principles to yet bring. So I invite you to tune in tomorrow as we continue on this subject of biblical prosperity. But now I must bring this broadcast to a close. And if you have needs, perhaps you're struggling financially, allow me the privilege of agreeing with you in prayer. And also I would exhort you to follow, to hear the messages this week, that you can begin to implement biblical principles in your life, that you can begin to see that curse of poverty broken in your life. God bless you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, man.